Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own bunk bed bell.
Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own bunk bed bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your bunk bed bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, that's what it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can write into the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, where you can submit your audio file via email. Just a note, we take the audio files via email. If you want to do a text written story, send those through the website. You can email the audio file to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories to us. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. And yourself?
I'm good.
I think we talked about it on the EPP episode a couple weeks back. But by the time this airs, that will be a couple weeks back. But it was literally the other day for us.
Uh-huh.
But I wanted to throw this out there. The art and our book essentially is together.
Yes.
It's now being transcribed by people by hand. It's a handwritten book. Every single copy handwritten by
I don't think so.
That's not quite how it works.
No,
but it's I guess gone to the printers. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So that means that very soon we should have the answer on the details as far as a release date. When you can purchase it and all that. I know there's pre-purchasing up on Amazon right now, but we'll have more on that as they get that to us. But it's exciting. Check out if you Amazon it and search it, you can see some of the graphics, and it's very creepy. It's our logo, but they really added some neat things with it.
Yeah.
So when you're in the bookstore, if you're at a bookstore anymore or just looking online, you can't miss it if you know our show logo and all that. It's very prominent. Nice big old creepy barn on there.
Yeah.
And it's good stuff. So that'll be coming out shortly with more details on that soon to follow. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your ghost stories with us. And let's move over to our first caller of the day and your story. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Emily calling from Saskatchewan, Canada. This is my first time calling in, and I haven't heard one of my on the show, but I'm really excited to hear what you guys might have to say. Give me some insight into some of my experiences and have some other listeners comment. So this story that I wanted to call about today was this took place at my stepdad's farm. I mentioned before, I have sensitivity kind of running in my family, and I'm not sure if I'm sensitive or if something's been, I don't know, following me around, and that's kind of what I asked for. So this particular experience, I felt like was fairly isolated out at the farmhouse. So this farm property, it's out by Langham, Saskatchewan. When our family, my stepdad grew up there, when his parents bought the property, it was already fairly old. This house was probably built in the early 1900s. And it has a lot of additions on it. When you walk around in the house, it's just creepy in itself. If you had never experienced anything, it still would be creepy because it's just all of these additions. Like, it's like hallways upon hallways upon hallways. It's kind of like a maze. Which was not to my advantage after I had this experience, because I really couldn't find my way out of the upstairs, which made me start to panic. And then I feel like it just got even creepier. I've heard you guys say before that spirits will feed on stronger energy, which I think maybe what I felt was maybe happening. So anyways, I'll just get into it. I was maybe 13 or 14, and we were out visiting the farm, and I had never really spent that much time upstairs. It's so close to the city that we live in that we didn't stay overnight there. He stays overnight there all the time, but we just went out for day visits or whatever. And I went upstairs by myself because my stepdad was telling me about this one room that sometimes, you know, they had felt like there was spirits in, and there it was always said to be haunted by him and his sister growing up, and his sister just wouldn't go into it. He didn't like going in it either, and they said that that's where the family before him, they had a nanny or an au pair or whatever you call it, and kind of a tutor who lived in with them and helped the kids, you know, take care of them and help them with their schoolwork. And so, but I don't know of anything bad happening to her. It's just that was her room, and nobody really stayed in that room during the time that their family was living there. So it's kind of just a spare room. So I went in there, and I was sitting on the bed, and I was by myself. It was about July or August, and in Saskatchewan, and in that time of year, it's pretty hot. So it was about 30 degrees outside and Celsius. And inside the room, I just felt really cold. And so I sat down on this old, old creaky bed, and I started to look through this box that was on the bed of photos, and I was looking at old photos of them growing up, and I just kind of got so lost in it, distracted, and all of a sudden I felt something reach out and push on the back of my shoulder blade, and I freaked out, and I turned around, and there was nothing there. I was so scared, I can't even explain how horrified I was. I looked back at the box, and, you know, I've been warned not to make a mess, spare room, they don't really stay there, but, and no one stays there that often. So I started putting the pictures back in, and when I turned back around, I felt a hard pull on my ponytail. At that point, I just thought, screw it, I'm not putting the pictures back, and I ran out into the hallway and slammed the door behind me. Like I said before, I felt this like overwhelming sense of panic, and I think that I just felt like I was being followed, and I don't know if I was or if the panic just got to me, but the sense of being followed just got stronger and stronger as I was trying to find my way out of this very confusing hallway at the farmhouse. And you know, I was 14. I'm 24 now. 10 years have gone by. I have not been back in that house. I've gone out to the farm lots of times, and, you know, I did some work out in the shop there with my stepdad. We buried my dog there, but I have not gone back in the house, not even to get a drink of water. I just, you know, will hang out on the property and stay outside, you know, fire, whatever, and then I'll drive back to the city if my mom and my stepdad are staying over. I don't know if you guys know much about Saskatchewan heritage or properties there, but I don't know if anyone, I don't really hear a lot of calls to your show from Canada, but if anyone has any kind of insight as to what that may have been, I'd love to hear it, and I would love to hear one of my stories on the show. Thanks, Tony and Jenny, again, for having this outlet available, and you guys have a great day.
Well, the reason we don't have many ghost stories from Canada is because Canada is not haunted. There's no ghosts in Canada.
That's bullshit.
And that's really why. It's an unhaunted country.
No, we get a ton of letters, at least. Quite a few calls from mm-hmm. up there, but I wonder if whatever was in the room was just confused, having not known who she was, and that's why it was kind of hostile, like, you know, pushing and pulling and
get out. It's hard to know, or it was just a hostile entity when it was alive, if it was alive at mm-hmm. one point in time. I think. Two, if I was in that situation, I'd be pretty much like she is now, going, I'm not going back there. Mm-hmm. Or if she does go back there, doesn't go in the house, you know. I think yeah. you would be too.
I would.
You're kind of like that with places we've been. Like, oh, you guys can go in, go ahead, have fun, and I'm going to stay over here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like that.
I don't blame you. I get it. So thank you for sharing the story with us. We do appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, guys. It's Mike. Called in with a story from Sheboygan, Wisconsin a while ago about faces in the window. Now I'm calling back with a story that happened to my father, and this is the first ghost story that I ever remember hearing, and I heard it from my grandma. So my father was born in 1939, and this happened in 1945, so he was 6 years old, and his grandfather died, my grandmother's father died, and they all went to Racine, Wisconsin for the funeral. And his aunt had a house there, and everybody knew that this house was built on an Indian burial ground. It was just one of those things that was accepted in the family lore. So everybody got their, you know, like picked their rooms, and nobody wanted to sleep in the attic because they were pretty sure that was going to be a major hot spot for the haunting. So they went made my father sleep up in the attic, and he didn't know anything about any of this. No one told him, so he wasn't really afraid of the attic, and he went upstairs and he slept in the attic. And during the night he woke up and looked over and saw his grandfather standing across the room, and he walked across the room with loud footsteps and sat down at the foot of his bed. And his grandmother was there as well, standing across the room. And he kind of blinked his eyes and said, "Grandpa?" Because he knew that his grandfather had died. And when he blinked his eyes, it all disappeared. And the door opened up, and my grandma and grandpa were sleeping in the room below him. And they heard the footsteps, and they thought he was up playing around. So they were coming up to tell him to go to sleep. But he was just sitting up in his bed and told them what happened. And my grandmother believed him because she was a psychic. And just to give you a little background on my grandmother, one of the first stories I ever learned about my grandmother was my aunt telling me that my grandmother was a good witch and that she could see into the future. And she recalled one time that they were living in Racine, and excuse me, and my grandfather was outside playing with my dad and my two aunts. Now, they're both older than him. And my grandmother called out from the house, said, "Hey, kids, get in the house. That tree's going to fall." And my grandfather looked at her and said, "You're crazy. That tree's not going to fall. It's a solid tree. It's been there for a long time." And he's like, "Bring the kids in the house. Come on." So they come in the house, and a little while later, they're eating dinner, and sure enough, that tree fell. And so that was just always accepted that that my grandma was pretty psychic. And in our family, we, you know, anytime somebody said that they saw a ghost, we believed them, because we knew for a fact that that kind of stuff happens. And I'm not going to take up any more time today, but I will call back in the next little while and give a few more stories. But there you go. Have a good one and see you later.
That's a good litmus test for if your loved one is legitimately psychic or has some sort of ability of some sort.
Predicting trees falling?
Yeah, that you're kind of like, oh, yeah, they kind of think they're psychic. You know, that's great. You know, it's like when that shit, it's like, okay, yes, mm-hmm. I'm going with what they're saying.
Yeah.
After something like that. I don't think I'd be ever doubting that person again. But what do you do then, like, when they start, you know, being incorrect, but they're going off of their feelings, but what if it's not, you know, it's not always 100%?
I don't know, but if they're right enough,
yeah,
then I would go with it either way.
It's like a batting average.
It is.
It's like, they're batting pretty good. They're about, 30 or like, 70, 80%. I'm going to go in with that area.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing the story with us. Do appreciate that. 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want some of our best stories, we got a whole bunch of them now. Literally thousands now in the EPP bonus episodes. There is now more than 150 episodes up there. So that's just jam-packed with just tons and tons and tons of some of the best stories we've ever had. You can check it out at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is to access all that. It keeps us on the air. That's what really supports the show more than anything else. You get access to all of that content. So if you're already an EPP, you guys already know how good it is. If you're not, please do check it out and consider helping to keep this thing on the air. Hi.
Hey, guys, just wanted to share my little story with you guys. Something really creepy happened to me about 4 or 5 years ago when I first moved into this really, really suspicious-looking basement apartment with my mother and my brother. And one night at about, I want to say about 3:20 in the morning, I was watching TV, and my brother and everybody else was sleeping. I was the only one up at the time. All the lights were off in the house, and like, that was always in my brother and I's room. And funny enough, I was watching TV, laying on the ground on my bed. And I remember I was getting ready to go to bed, and I was going to get up to the lights, so I roll over to my right, and I just, I'll never forget it, because this thing is, I feel like this image is like burnt into the back of my head forever. But I just remember seeing this really, really white face, I want to say, that the eyes were like very, very, very small. They were blacked out, and the lips were very thin. And I remember me and this thing had like a stare off for a good 5-6 seconds. I, of course, was in just utter fear. I didn't know what to do. I was just so terrified. And I remember I just pulled the covers over my head. I didn't know what else to do at the time. Didn't want to gag it up. I didn't have the courage to confront it or to say anything to it. But I remember I got up, and I put the covers over my head, and I remember I just knocked out. Don't remember anything or anything that happened, or if it did anything to me, to be honest. And I just remember I was so terrified the next morning that I asked my mother if she had a mask. I was actually going through her dresser, and saying, where's the mask? I was just terrified. She was like, "Nick, what are you talking about?" And I told her my story, and she was just like a complete shock, because she didn't know what was going on either. And there's a lot of spooky stuff that happened in that basement where we lived. Like, one of the guys that lived in the pool on the other side hung himself in a the dark in the back room and the chair and stuff like that. So that place always had a very spooky vibe, you could say. At night, things moving out of this place that you know you put them when they weren't there anymore. Yeah, I'd love to share more of my story with you guys, man. Get a chance to, you know, talk about it with you. Big fan of the show. Just, yeah, would love to get a chance to share my story with you guys. Thanks so much.
So there you go. That's one where you immediately jump to the conclusion of this happened because the precursor of the guy hanging himself happened.
Uh-huh.
Is that the case here, or is that just kind of one of those things where, well, that's the easiest conclusion to jump to?
Well, I'm kind of torn on that because I think sometimes there might already be something there that's causing people to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So something might have been there and caused that guy to hang himself. But on the other hand, I don't know that the energy from something like that ever truly leaves.
Yeah. If it's something that dark, mm-hmm. something that troubling, that's a good question. Thanks for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi. Share your story.
Hey, guys. It's not really my story. It's my daughter's story. But I'll tell it for you. So we moved into a new house, and we gave my daughter the master bedroom because she really, really wanted it, whatever. So me and my wife moved into the other bedroom, and, you know, everything was good. Everything was fine. And there was one time, well, I'm going to backtrack a little bit, but my wife, she's a really light sleeper, can't sleep. When she hears me leave in the morning, you know, she's kind of pretty much awake. So she's trying to get back to bed, and she feels like a blow, like a in her ear, and she's like, that's kind of weird, you know, whatever. I might have been dreaming. So then, you know, a few weeks later, she hears me leave, door shut. She's kind of laying there trying to go back to bed. She hears the kids, you know, in the living room. And she starts to doze off, and she thinks she's awake, but she hears, because of you, she's dead. Like, I was saying it to her, but, like, clearly next to her ear. And it freaked her out. She ran in the living room. Kids are fine. Everything's fine, you know, whatever. Well, fast track, a year later, 2 years later, something like that, I can't remember what it was, my daughter, you know, wants to switch rooms. You know, she doesn't want the big room no more. So we switch, and she takes the room we were previously in. Well, she sets up her bed to where it's in the corner, kitty corner from her bedroom door. So it's like her headboard's right in the corner. Her feet would be directed toward the doorway. And she said she's laying there, and she wakes up, and she goes to roll out of bed, and there's like a man kneeled down next to her bed, you know, from the torso up. She, you know, he's wearing like, she can see he's wearing like a button-up short-sleeve shirt with like a name tag on it, like a serviceman's, you know, type of shirt. She can't read the name tag, and he has like curliest hair. She can see the features, but she can't really see his face. So it freaks her out. She rolls back over to the other side and starts kicking at it, you know, like, get away from me, you know. She didn't know what it was. When she realized she wouldn't kick anything, she rolled back over to get out of bed, and it was still there. So then she rolled out of bed and ran into the other room where my mom was babysitting them because I was at work. It was Saturday. So my mom goes through and, you know, blesses the house and says a prayer and whatever. But it was just weird that she couldn't quite grasp. And she was awake, but she didn't know who it was, why he was there. So a little bit of history. The guy that sold, the realtor that sold the house, not our realtor, but the realtor that was the selling realtor, we became friends. They have kids, and they actually lived right behind us. He ended up telling me that somebody died in that house, and he couldn't, you know, he didn't say it at closing because he didn't, you know, want to, whatever the reason was. But we were friends, so I was like, whatever. I just thought it was weird that my daughter experienced that, so I don't know. Kind of crazy.
He didn't say it at closing, but
no, you can't say it at closing.
After the papers are signed, you're like, oh, by the way, here's some shit you should probably know about in that brand new house you just got.
I would think, though, if the spirit itself is praying, that you don't need to worry too much about.
Praying to who? That's the question.
Yeah, that is a good question, but I still think it's probably not something that's going to do too much harm.
Everyone saw his hands were folded together.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Standing in the corner praying. The only question was, praying to who? When Dateline returns, we'll find out the answer to that question. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. So something that we get here at the station.
Here at the station.
Here at the station.
No.
What do you even call this? At the podcast?
Studio.
The studio? I'm so used, you know, because you had the radio station and the studio was in the radio station. So when I refer to like the building, I mean, the podcast, I think the podcast is what we.
The studio within the
house. Studio within the house. Here within the cave that is the studio. We get, you know, fan art and stuff at mm-hmm. the podcast. I like the podcast. I'm going to go with the podcast.
The podcast is not a place. It's a thing.
It's an idea. It's a place. It's a memory.
Anyway.
It's everything. It's an emotion.
Okay, so we get
anyway,
fan
we
art.
Get fan art. And, you know, like physical fan art. But every once in a while, we get audio fan art as well.
Okay.
And I wanted to share this. This just was sent in to us from Joe Gibson. He's, I believe, up in Canada. And he's part of a rock opera. Is what he's trying to produce.
Okay.
And he sent me an email saying, hey, check out my rock opera and whatnot. And I want to send this to you. He made like a little cut, if you will.
Okay.
Of kind of that style of thing. So if you're into, what the hell was it? The real famous rock opera. The
Rocky Horror
Picture Show. Uh-huh. Couldn't think of it. This may be up your alley. I just want to play it, and then I'll give a little plug to his site if you're into more of his stuff. But it was just kind of cool. And this is not an advertisement or anything like that. I just thought it was neat that he made it for the show. He loves us. And here's what he made for Real Ghost Stories Online. This is rock opera style. Here we go. Oh, hang on. Let me adjust the volume a bit. Get that so you can hear it. A little bit better. Okay, here we go.
Real ghost stories online. What goes bump in the night and hides under the bed? Real ghost stories online. Exploring the mysterious and the undead. Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
And you ruined it.
Well, you gotta add a little Michael McDonald into it.
You don't have to add Michael McDonald to everything. You just don't.
Did you ever think you'd say that sentence out loud?
There's so many things I have to say that I should never have to say.
That's a total sentence that I'm sure a lot of people were thinking in about 1989.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't have to add Michael McDonald to everything.
Uh-huh.
You turn on the radio and it's like, why? What? Why is he in this song too?
I like what he did.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That was really cool.
So anyway, he has a website with his rock opera stuff on there, torturechamber.wixsite.com/torturechamber, if you want to check out more of that. So Joe, thank you for creating that. And maybe next time we can get a little bit of Christopher Cross or Kenny Loggins in there with the dark demonic voices.
Okay.
That'd make a great cut. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm a listener of your show from Indiana. So I decided to go ahead and call and use your paranormal support group. I've got a problem that's bugging me. Dying to tell somebody, just to unload, but I can't tell anybody, so I can tell you guys, because I'm just an anonymous caller. So, I'm an investigator, and I'm going to cut this down to the short of it, if you want more details, that's fine. So I go to a home investigation of a friend of mine knows what I do, and she says, my 8-year-old daughter is being frightened by what she says is a young girl, like an older girl, maybe 13, 14, or maybe even a teenager, and she sees her walking around the house at night, and the girl has shoulder length, the ghost girl, has shoulder length black hair, and she's talking to her, but the 8-year-old can't hear anything she says. I said, okay, this is probably just a nightmare type situation, but we'll go check it out. And during the investigation, we realized that the home has 2 urns of ashes on it of grandparents. And so we couldn't get anything to speak with us or interact with us. So I told the 8-year-old girl that, I don't have anything solid yet, but this is probably just your grandma who missed you. And instead of presenting herself as how she used to look, she's making herself look young so that she's not scary. 8-year-old accepted this. We all patted ourselves on the back. Great job. As we're getting ready to leave, we tried one more ghost session with the ghost box, which is the altered radio thing, just to try to verify, are you grandma so-and-so? What came through, though, and it was very clear, was the spirit of a girl who, she told us her name, but when she did, it was kind of garbled and broken up, and all I could get was that the first letter of the name was a K or a C sound. And I looked at my friend, I said, does this voice sound at all like your grandmother? Maybe even a younger version. She said, I don't know. So this ghost box voice is telling us things like, it's dark, she's scared, she can't see where she is, she's cold, she wants to go home, she doesn't know where she is, all the typical stuff. So I'm starting to think this is not the grandmother, obviously. And through questioning, she said her name again, and the lady, my friend who owns the house, she gasped and ran out of the room. So then we asked her, do you know where you are? And she said, she was whispering now. She lowered her voice on the ghost box and said, I'm hiding in the attic. They're coming for me. There's blood everywhere. And this is all very disturbing. And she started to describe a violent, bloody scene. So I went in to talk to my friend, and I'm like, you seem to know who this is. Did your grandmother die in violence? And she said, no. But the house right next door to her is a known drug den. You wouldn't know from looking at it. Just looks like a nice, normal, average suburban white house. But the police go there a lot, and they do raids, and they never get much, because people who live there are smart. So then my friend says, haven't you heard about the girl? And I don't remember. I'll just say her name's Kayla, that's not her name, that went missing. And I said, I don't think so. I don't read the papers as much as I should. They're depressing. And she said, did you see a picture of a girl at the bus stops and the gas stations? I said, oh, yeah, yeah. And then I remember this girl is a teenager with shoulder length, black hair, who went missing. So my friend says she was last seen at the house next door, and the people over there had told the police that she was there. She was on drugs, and at 3 a.m. she walked off down the street, and that was the last anybody ever saw of her. She was reported as a runaway. The police stopped looking because she's a drug user and she's a runaway, and case closed. So I went back to the ghost box and started talking to the girl in the attic again. And according to the girl in the attic, there's blood everywhere and there's violence and they want to murder her, and I don't know what's going on. But this spirit is presenting itself as being scared. Now, with that, you have to keep in mind that sometimes spirits lie just to evoke emotion response. So I don't know if any of this is true. But after this day, I looked up everything I could find on the girl, shocked that the news reports were pretty vague, focusing only on the pain of the family. I had to go to a Facebook page that her family created saying, you know, we know our daughter, she's not a runaway. She filled out forms the day she went missing to go to this really posh drug recovery place, and she was excited about going. So if they said there's no way she ran away, she didn't take her wallet, her money, her contacts, her clothes, or her car. And the police, of course, just say, well, she was on drugs. So now, talking to the spirit through the ghost box, another spirit came through at the end, a male, and he said through a series of questions, I'll just cut this down to the end, that he actually said, I'm dead. And I said, no, I'm sorry to hear that. And I said, how did you die? And he said, drugs. And I said, do you remember what drug? And he said, oh, heroin. He was very nonchalant about it. And I said, do you see the girl who's been talking to us? Do you see her? Do you know her? And he said, yeah. And I said, is she hiding? And he said, no, she's dead. Which I figured, since she's talking to me. And I said, she says she's an addict. Is she an addict? And he says, no. So I'm trying to question the guy spirit to find out where. I said, I need to find her body so I can give it back to her parents. At first, he was really vague and said, it's outside. I said, is it near a building or a river or a tree or something I can find it with? He said, not really. After a lot of questioning, he gave me an area to look. I know the area. I know pretty much where to look, if any of this is true. Big if. But he also says, after she died, they cut her up into pieces to get rid of the body, to hide it better. Okay, that makes it more difficult. And it's been about 9 months. So all that would be left, dry bones, if there's anything there at all. So I had this genius plan that how do you find a body that's in pieces outside? Well, how do other people on the news find things like that outside? Usually, they're walking their dogs. I have access to dogs. I have access to hound dogs. And dogs that have a tendency to bring home dead things like possums and stuff. So, that's my current dilemma. I think maybe just to ease my own conscience, because doing nothing is eating at my soul. So I guess I'll be taking those dogs for a walk and hoping I don't find anything. But then again, I guess if you wanted to be found, you'd tell me.
There you go.
I think I'd go look.
Yeah, I do too. I can say I do not. I would not want to have that ability.
No.
I can see how it's worked for good, and we've heard stories from folks where it has worked for good, but then you also get things like this that seem to come through. And sometimes, you know, how do you ever really know for sure if it's real? I suppose if you yourself have this regularly, I guess you could determine that. Mm-hmm. But I just me personally speaking, I think I'd be always kind of like, well, I'm not quite sure. Is this really a real one? Is this not a real one? Because the way that some of this stuff works sometimes, it could be sending you on a goose chase to get you in trouble or to get you hurt or...
Yeah, yeah.
You know? You know, when maybe there is no body out there. If it's something really nefarious or dark, you know what I mean?
I know, but my fear is always it's going to haunt me until I find it.
Sure. And I guess it's interesting how that was left and stated where if she wants to be found, you know, she would talk to her.
Well, but the thing is, maybe the girl doesn't know where her body is. Maybe she was killed in that attic and then dumped and cut up and put somewhere else, and she doesn't have any idea where she is.
That's kind of that's an interesting thought, because a lot of times when you're thinking of ghosts, you always think, oh yeah, you know, they're over there. They know where their body is. Is that ever the case, where you can be the ghost roaming around, but you have no idea where your body is at?
I think sometimes they know where they are, especially if they had a say in where their plot is.
I would say, I think in most cases, people think you know where the body is. I'm saying, I think a lot of times that's just the assumption that no matter what, you know that. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking maybe that's not always the case.
I'm guessing this girl has no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And she's probably not real sure that she's dead.
Yeah, that could be half of it as well. Keep us posted on what goes on there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an EPP extra podcast person. Get all the bonus episodes of our show on our website at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all it is, or you can sign up for a full year, get 1 month free and a bunk bed bill. Check that out there at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.